Blog Talk Radio.
Keep going in the strength of y'all. Whenever I fall, they make me rise. Wipe my tears when they make me cry. Carry me on when they break my stride. Keep going in the strength of y'all. It's going your way, pockets turned thin, all of your cash gone. Then you face the east and hit your knees and spread your hands high to the Most High. Then he poured down a blessing too big to receive, cause he remember every time that you pay tithes. You see, we all got problems. Get your burdens, the ILA, day tribulation. You see, we gotta be strong and courageous, like y'all commanded Joshua and Caleb. Don't nothing come easy in this world. Everything that you need, best believe you gotta work for it. May have to go through the dirt for it. Y'all can steal the thing, but it's the glory. King said he searched for it.
When the light get dark,
ahead at the end of the light. Don't give up the fight. It's never too late as long as you got breath. And we'll walk left for wickedness. Y'all remove my steps. If I get a second chance, I'ma do my best. Be eyes to the blind, feet to the lame, a father to the poor. And I broke the jaws of the wicked, plucked the spoil out of his dentures. When it went against them, gave hope to those ready to perish. Cause the widow's heart to sing. I put on righteousness and they clothe me as a robe and diadem. Stay strong like Joe with my Elohim. Please y'all redeem your holy. Those that's vain in the heart who don't think they gon' make it across, please tell them see. See y'all. Keep going in the strength of y'all. Whenever I fall, he make me rise. Wipe my tears when they make me cry. Carry me on when they break my stride. Keep going in the strength of y'all. I'ma keep going in the strength of y'all. I'ma keep going. I'ma keep going. I'ma keep going in the strength of y'all. Keep going in the strength of y'all. Whenever I fall, he make me rise. Wipe my tears when they make me cry. Carry me on when they break my stride. Keep going in the strength of I'ma keep going in the strength of Yah. I'ma keep going, I'ma keep going, I'ma keep going in the strength of Yah.
When the lights get dark, Yahweh keeps my candle glowing on. And when things seem like they too hard to handle, I'ma stay strong. When the lights get dark, Yahweh keeps my candle.
Praise the mighty Yah. Blessed be the name of Yah, creator of the universe. Elohim of our fathers. Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael. First and foremost, let's give all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is there. And by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another great and glorious day to bring to you his great, holy, and exalted words, even the words of truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth, for Yah ordained me to tell you the truth. And this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is there and is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king. He's our judge. He's our lawgiver. And Yah is our only savior, and not just of Israel. Yah is the savior of the world. And I praise Yah for allowing me once again to come before you to bring to you his great, holy, and exalted word. We have been dealing with the various books of the law, the various books of Yah, according to the Holy Scriptures. The Creator says, seek ye out of the book of Yah and read. None shall fail. None shall want her made. For it is mouth that has commanded, and it is his spirit that has gathered them. And what is them? The books of Yah. There are no other books that Yahweh will have prophets, where Yahweh will have words that will tell you, thus says Yahweh. Or the word of Yahweh came unto me saying, or Yah says, or Yah has spoken it. Only the Holy Scriptures. Only the books that he allowed to be gathered, and only the books that he himself commanded out of his own mouth. Don't get tricked, bamboozled, and fooled by the various historians who would tell you there's some lost books of the Bible. They would tell you these books was taken out, extracted, and they're essential for you to know the Creator's word. And that is not the truth. But if it is the truth, produce these books. And tell us, thus says Yah, show us. The word of Yah came unto me saying, show us these things. And I know that they cannot. That's why when we call the various leaders to produce these things, all the way up until the very day, hour, in 2019, they have not produced nothing. We showed you the book of Genesis because we wanted you to know that you're not to read the Creator's word like all the other books. For the Creator's word is not like other books. So you can't read it the same way You have to know how to study the Creator's Word, how to study the Scriptures to get the maximum understanding that Yahweh desires you to get. And you're not going to be taught this anywhere else, I can assure you. In the book of Genesis, which is the first book of the Holy Scriptures, we brought to attention that it comes from the Hebrew word Bereshit, which means beginning. In this beginning, it lets you know about seven different stories. It's only 50 chapters in Genesis. In the beginning, it lets you know the first thing you had to concern yourself with in your studies, in studying Genesis, is the generations of the heavens. That's number one. Number two, the generations of the earth. You want to know their beginning. How can you read any book? How can you study anything without knowing the beginning and the relevance of any story without knowing the beginning? Why you think our people don't know order? Why you think the crooked things have to be made straight? And why do you think order must be restored back to us? Because people really don't know the beginning. And since people don't know the beginning, they don't know how the days start. They don't know how the years start. They don't know how the months start. All because of their inability to understand the beginning. The third thing, after the generations of the heaven, the generations of the earth, but the third thing is the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Yafet, which makes six different things that one can begin to study. Oh, right before I get to Noah's son, I apologize. The third thing is the generation of Adam. Don't let me forget Adam, because he had a generation also. And the Creator said he set the bounds of the children of Israel, or the bounds of the sons of Adam, according to the number of the children of Israel. What is that number? If you don't know. So generations of Adam was number three. And then Shem, Ham, and Japheth, which are the sons of Noah, whom Yahweh will use to populate the whole earth after it was destroyed by the flood waters. And the seventh thing in the book of Genesis, Bereshit, the beginning, because all this marks the beginning, is the study of the covenant son, the covenant child of Abraham. According to the scriptures, the Almighty said to Abram that he will be a blessing, and he will bless him. And all those bless him shall be blessed, and all those that curse him shall be cursed. And in all the families of the earth shall be blessed in him. And this covenant was passed down through a particular, peculiar, specific, set apart seed or offspring of Abram. who had many sons. But it was only one seed that would receive this covenant. And this was none other than Isaac and Jacob and the 12 tribes of Israel. The covenant seed. This is the book of Genesis. Furthermore, brought to your attention concerning the second book of the Holy Scriptures, the book of Exodus. It is funny because the Hebrew word that marks this book comes from the Hebrew word "mot." It don't mean Exodus at all. The title might have something to do with what the people did, but the Hebrew word for the title is not Exodus. The word Shemot means name or names. And you'll find it in the very first verse of Exodus where it tells you that these are the names. Because it's a book that will detail the importance, the significance of the greatest name that exists. And that is the Creator himself. This is where the world began to learn the name of Yahweh through his servant Moses. And here, Yahweh introduced himself to Moses and told him, Moses, what if they ask me? You tell me to go to the leaders and the elders of the children of Israel, but what name should I tell them that sent me? Surely they're going to ask me, what is his name? And he said, Yah. I'll be what I shall be. And of course, in English, I am have sent you. And we find that furthermore, or moreover, he said, Yahweh thy Elohim, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Yitzhak, the Elohim of Yaakov has sent you. This is my name, and this is my memorial forever. And all through the book of Exodus, you will see where Moses first went to the elders and the leaders in the name of Yahweh. And then you will see where Yahweh sent Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh to speak in his name. And then you will find where Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt to the mountain of Elohim to meet this great name, this great Elohim whose name is Yahweh and Yahweh alone. And then you will find that they were commanded to build the various articles and to give offerings for the articles, the sanctuary, the tabernacle, the altar, table of showbread, the burning lamps, all dedicated in the name of Yahweh. Well, that's what the book means. These are the names. Surely this is where you learn about the children of Israel also. Their name. Furthermore, we brought to your attention about the book of Leviticus. In the book of Leviticus, the title itself comes from the Hebrew word Wayikra. Now, Wayikra don't mean Leviticus at all. It don't mean Levite. It don't mean Levi. But you would think it do. No, it do not. In the very first verse, as in Exodus, the very first verse, where it says, these are the names, that's what Shemot means. But in Leviticus, Wayikra is also in the very first verse of the book of Leviticus, which simply means he called out. He called out. All you got to do is look up the word. And that's what it's going to tell you. And what type of calling was this? It was a holy calling. That's why when you get into the book of Leviticus, where do you think all the various offerings was called out to? Where do you find all the holy callings? Well, in the book of Leviticus. And we brought you that. Furthermore, what else was called out? The various laws, the various statutes of Yahweh. And yes, you'll find some statutes, some commandments, and even laws in the book of Exodus. After our people came out of Egypt, the only one that you'll find in Egypt is the book in Exodus, the 12th chapter, where they talk about the Passover. But after they came out, then you will begin to see the institution of the Sabbath day, the various offerings for the tabernacle, and how you were to treat one another, not stealing from other, not one another, not taking coveting from one another, as well as the Ten Commandments. But in Leviticus, then you begin to get deep into the various laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments that was called out to the priest and who was commanded to teach you. The priests, Levites, they were commanded to do this. And let me show you this in the book of Leviticus, the 10th chapter. This is what we were dealing with a couple nights ago. And if we let our enemies teach us, in which we have, we wouldn't know what these words mean. And our people don't. In the book of Leviticus, the 10th chapter, starting at the 8th verse.
And Yahweh spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine or strong drink, you nor your sons, with you when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. And it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that you may put difference between holy and unholy.
That you may put a difference between the holy, because this is the third book of the Holy Scriptures, third book of the Bible. The third represents holiness. And now they're being told to put a difference between the holy and the what?
Unholy.
And the unholy. Go ahead.
And between the unclean and clean.
And between the unclean and the clean.
And that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which Yahweh has spoken to them, by the hand of Moses.
Yeah, these statutes was essential because the statutes are forever. And these statutes was not just forever, but they were for generation to generation. So you had to understand what these statutes was all about. And this is the book that you begin to learn in fullness these statutes. Even though there were statutes in the book of Exodus, but many of these statutes was for the priests. But then you start getting into the various statutes for the people. And yes, before anybody say anything, yes, there are statutes in Exodus, there are laws in Exodus, and there are commandments surely in the book of Exodus. And look, we're going to go over that. We're dealing with the books right now. The essence of what these books are teaching you, so you will know how to study them. But we're going to go over the laws, the statutes, the judgments, the testimonies, the covenants of Yahweh. We're going to go over all of them. But if you just go by these titles, you'll be totally confused. Because they, except for Genesis, the rest of them, you don't know what they mean. You don't know what they're talking about. Such as the very next book that we are slated to study, which is the book of Numbers. And if you go to the book of Numbers, in the book of Numbers, there's no difference. Numbers, the first chapter. This is the fourth book of the Holy Scriptures. So it seemed reasonable why they were calling Numbers. Since when you read the book of Numbers, you see the sum of the children of Israel. You see how you had to count at a certain age. You had to count a certain amount of people when they get a certain age. You separated the tribes by their standard, which means their flag, their order. So it is understandable. But the Hebrew word, the title for this book, don't mean numbers at all. It comes from the Hebrew word Bamidbar, which simply means in the wilderness. Don't mean numbers at all. Because numbering was just one of the many things that was done in the wilderness. And when I looked at this particular book, Bamidbar, and I looked at the other books, such as Exodus and Leviticus, even Deuteronomy, just about the whole story of the children of Israel is told in the book of Numbers. Even though you start reading in the book of Exodus when they came out of Egypt. But the book of Numbers will talk about their stay in the wilderness from the first chapter all the way to the 37th chapter. And it's only 40 chapters in the book. Matter of fact, it ain't even 40. It's 36 chapters in the book of Numbers. And you'll read about what happened to them in the wilderness all the way up to the 36th chapter. because the book of Numbers is all about them being in the wilderness. And it's essential. And I can see why Yahweh dedicated this book, this fourth book, about them being in the wilderness. Even the word wilderness is deceiving, a deception, because really, it's about the desert and them being in a desert for 40 years. Imagine, because when you say wilderness, it still sounds good. It still sounds nice. It still sounds plentiful. Wilderness is just a long word that means wild. No, that's not how Yahweh described the desert. The desert is not described like the wild. You want to see the wild, look at a lot of these movies, or what they call history channels, where they look and they go into the forest, and they you'll see the wild then, and then see what's going on in the desert, and you'll sit there a long time before you see some wild, unless you see some come up out of the sand, which did come up out of the sand. But let me show you how important this wilderness, according to the scriptures, was that you needed to notice. Because if you're going to study the book of Numbers, this is what you're going to learn about. What happened to our people in the wilderness? What's the very first verse? So you can see what I'm telling you is the truth. Watch what it says.
Numbers 1, verse 1. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe in the wilderness of Sinai.
In the wilderness of Sinai. That word wilderness, it means by Midbar. Or really Midbar. When you say in the wilderness by Midbar, that's what it means. And where did he start speaking? He spoke to them in the wilderness of Sinai. In the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, and this is what he began to tell them. But this is the second year. They done spied out the land. They done did other things in the wilderness. They done received the Ten Commandments. All that has already happened. This is the second year. But one of the greatest stories, and really the second greatest story of the children of Israel, the very first greatest story that you can read about the children of Israel, is our deliverance from Egypt. But the second greatest story that you can read about the children of Israel is in the wilderness. And I just want you to see how great this story is. And watch what it says about the wilderness in the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, starting at the very first verse.
All the commandments which I command you this day shall you observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which Yahweh sware unto your fathers. And you shall remember all the way which Yahweh your Elohim led thee these 40 years in the wilderness.
You notice he said, and that is that commandment? and you and thou shall remember all the way which Yahweh your Elohim led you these 40 years in the wilderness. In other words, these 40 years by Midbar in the wilderness. To what?
To humble you.
To humble you.
And to prove you.
To test you.
To know what was in your heart.
And he wanted to open up that heart to see what you really made of, what you really about, and see what you really would do.
Whether you would keep his commandments or not.
And little do people know, what do you think the wilderness is all about? It was all about testing you to see what you would do. And what will be in your heart. Right now, many people getting tested and they not even in the wilderness. But they're being tested to see what they really need of and what they will do and how they will do it and how they go about doing it. And I can assure you, you already failed the test even before you even get to the wilderness. And make no mistake about it. We're going in the wilderness again. That's why this is the second greatest story ever told. In the wilderness. The first is Egypt. And this is the second. Continue reading.
And he humbled thee. And showed you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you knew not, neither did your fathers.
You didn't even know what Yahweh was feeding you. And your fathers didn't know. So this is something you couldn't ask them and say, look, what is this thing? No, you couldn't ask them this.
That he might make you to know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh, doth man live.
Yeah, that's how man lives. So go to these other books in the sea where out of the mouth of Yahweh he spoke. Since out of the mouth, since we don't live by bread only, and we live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Yahweh, does man live. So bring these various books that our people say they go by, and they prop up, and they bring out this little point, and that little point, and that little point. Yeah, bring them to us so we can see them, and then tell us, thus says Yahweh. And you won't hear that. You won't see that, and they're not going to say that. Because Yahweh gave us the books that we should seek out of. That we should read. It is the books that he commanded, and it's the books that he gathered through his spirit. And right now, we're reading one of them, Deuteronomy. But we're talking about the book of Numbers, because the book of Numbers is about the wilderness. By Midbar don't mean numbers anyway. It don't even mean that. It means wilderness. Now, why couldn't they just put the title as the wilderness? That would be too much like right. Then you would focus on, let me find out about this wilderness that Yahweh said, we must remember all the way that he brought us through this wilderness. Why we got to remember that? Because that's where he humbled you. Why we got to remember that? That's where he proved you. Why we got to remember that? That's where he wanted to know what was in your heart. And why do we have to remember that? Whether you keep his commandments or not. Was it good or bad? It was bad because he suffered you to hunger. And why did he do that? That you might know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh does man live. That's why it's called in the wilderness, not Numbers. Continue reading.
Verse 4. Your clothing became not old upon you, neither did your foot swell these 40 years. You shall also consider in your heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so Yahweh your Elohim chastens you. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim to walk in his ways and to fear him.
And little do people know, when we receive the commandments, the laws, the statutes, and judgments, not one law, not one commandment, not one statute, not one judgment we learned in the land. These are all the things we learned way before we got to the land. And I can assure you, we're not going to learn these laws in the land in the future. You got to know the laws, the statutes, the judgments, the testimonies, as well as the covenants of Yah before you get to the land. Yahweh said he refused, utterly refused, to take anyone in this land that is uncircumcised in flesh and that is uncircumcised in heart. So if you're waiting to learn the laws and to receive the laws when you get home because you think that's the only place you're supposed to keep them, well, you're going to be in big trouble. Because the laws was learned way. They spent 40 years learning the laws, commandments, statutes, judgments, testimonies, covenants of Yahweh. 40 years before they went to the land. And how long is it going to take us? Continue reading.
For Yahweh, verse 6, therefore you shall keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim to walk in his ways and to fear him. For Yahweh your Elohim brings you into a good land. A land of brooks of water.
Brooks of water.
Of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills.
Mm-hmm.
A land of wheat and barley, and vines and fig trees, and pomegranates. A land of olive oil and honey.
No wonder it's called the Promised Land. No wonder everyone wants the land except for our people. We think the Promised Land in America. There's no olive oil and honey and pomegranates in America. And fig trees and vines and barley and wheat, except something polluted. Nine first.
A land wherein you shall eat the bread without scarceness. You shall not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you may dig brass.
Yeah, that's what was in the Promised Land. The land that was promised to our fathers. But what was in the wilderness. Watch this, the 14th verse.
Then your heart is lifted up, and you forget Yahweh your Elohim, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness.
That great and terrible wilderness. I'm here to tell you, it wasn't a wilderness at all. It was a desert. Go ahead.
Wherein were fiery serpents.
Fiery serpents.
And scorpions.
Scorpions.
And drought.
Drought.
Where there was no
water. And it wasn't no water.
Who brought you forth water out of the rock of flint. Who fed you in the wilderness with with manna, which your fathers knew not, that he might humble you, and that he might prove you to do you good at your latter end.
And this is why you must know the book of Numbers. This is why you must know correctly call in the wilderness the second greatest story you'll read. And really it's the third greatest story, because the first greatest story is about the beginning. But dealing with the children of Israel, it's the second greatest story, because it's the story that was told to our people after they came out of Egypt. And there is no story like that. That's number one. But I just want you to see what happened in the wilderness. Because look what Yahweh said about this wilderness, which the book of Numbers is correctly called. Look at Deuteronomy 7. Start at the 17th verse.
You shall say in your heart, these nations are more than I. How can I dispose of them? You shall not be afraid of them.
Don't be afraid of them. Man, you got to remember this.
But we'll remember what Yahweh Elohim did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt, the great temptations which your eyes saw, and the signs, and the wonders, and the mighty hand, and the stretched out arm, whereby Yahweh your Elohim brought you out. So shall Yahweh your Elohim do to all the people of whom you are afraid.
Yeah, you don't got to be afraid of nothing. Don't you see what Yahweh did in Egypt? And did not you understand what Yahweh did in the wilderness? Watch this. Deuteronomy 4.
But ask now of the days that are past.
Yeah, ask this question. The days that are past. I want you to ask this.
Which were before you, since the day that Elohim created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven to the other.
Yeah, ask the Pope, ask the all the big imams and the priests and the bishops, and you ask them, have any great thing been done like this? Watch what it says.
Since the day Elohim created man on earth, and asked them on one side of heaven to the other, whether there has been any such thing as this great thing is, or has been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of Elohim speaking out of the midst of the fire, as you have heard, and live?
Listen, have there ever been even heard like it?
Or has Elohim...
Listen, people hear the voice of Elohim speaking out of the midst of the fire, as you have heard it, and live? Where did that take place at? In the wilderness? Where? The Mount of Elohim? Where? Mount Sinai? And what else did it say?
Or did ever people hear the voice of Elohim speaking out of the fire, as you have heard and live? Or has Elohim tried to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptation? By signs.
By signs.
And by wonders.
By wonders.
And by war.
By war.
And by a mighty hand.
A mighty hand.
And by a stretched out arm.
Stretched out arm.
And by great terrors.
Seven great, awesome things.
According to all that Yahweh your Elohim did for you in Egypt before your eyes.
Before your eyes. This is what Yahweh will do. This is what Yahweh did. And this, not only what he did in Egypt, but also in the wilderness. No wonder this story must be told. And what else did Yahweh do in this wilderness? In the book of Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter. Let us turn there. He said, well, why are we reading in the book of Deuteronomy about the wilderness? If Numbers is about the wilderness, because in Deuteronomy it's recapping. Is re-educating you on what happened. Now, we'll go to the book of Numbers so you can see. But watch this in Deuteronomy 29, the very first verse.
These are the words of the covenant which Yahweh commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb.
And where is that at? Watch what it says.
And Moses called to all Israel and said to them, you have seen all that Yahweh did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land. The great temptations which your eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles, yet Yahweh has not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, ears to hear unto this day.
Yeah, in other words, the people who came out of Egypt, their heart didn't perceive it. Their eyes really didn't see it. Their ears was not open to hear it and to receive it. Now, all the way up until this day, when they at the end of the 40 years, just like we're at the end of our 400 years. I mean, we're really at the beginning, but we're at the end of the beginning of these 400 years. And now it's time for your heart to perceive, your eyes to see, your ears to hear. And watch what it says in the fifth verse.
And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness.
I led you 40 years in the wilderness. Don't you understand the impact that that will have doing something for 40 years?
Your clothes have not grown old upon you, and your shoe has not grown old upon your foot.
Yeah, that's not some arbitrary thing. This was very major that your clothes didn't wasn't grown old, and your shoe didn't grow old upon your foot. These were miracles, but you didn't realize it because our people was complaining as they do today. They complain so much they don't even know when they're blessed. Sixth verse.
You have not eaten bread.
You didn't even eat bread.
Neither have you drunk wine or strong drink.
And you thought you couldn't even live without wine and strong drink.
That ye might know that I am Yahweh your Elohim.
Yeah, but you can. If you want to know Yahweh your Elohim, what kind of mind know Yahweh? What kind of mind is close to Yahweh? And he's high all the time. For whatever reason. You think you got to be high to be well? No. Yahweh wounds and Yahweh heals. In these 40 years, He put us in a certain type of condition where we will only depend on him for everything. If we want to be healed, if we want to eat, if we wanted to drink, and even our shoes and clothes did not wax old. Now, do you understand why you must learn, read, and study the story in the wilderness? That's what the whole book is about. That's what it's dealing with. Watch what it says in Deuteronomy 32. Watch what it says. Starting at the 7th verse. Starting at the very first verse.
Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon tender earth, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of Yahweh. Ascribe ye greatness unto our Elohim. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. Elohim of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation.
If that was a perverse and crooked generation, what type of generation do you think this is?
Do you thus repay Yahweh, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he your father that has brought you? Has he not made you and established you?
Yeah, is not he that the one made you and brought you and established you and made you? Why can't we humble ourselves to understand this?
Remember the days of old. Consider the years, many generations. Ask your father and he will show you. Your elders and they will tell you. When the Most High divided the nations to their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For Yahweh's portion is his people. Yaakov is the lot of his inheritance.
And watch what it says in the 10th verse.
He found him in a desert.
He found him in a desert land. And of course, this what it really should be. In the wilderness. Go ahead.
And in the waste, howling wilderness.
The waste, howling wilderness. Nothing but howling.
He led him about.
And he led him about. He guided him.
He instructed him.
Yeah, because he gave him his law.
He kept him as the apple of his eye.
Yeah, because it was a cloud by day. And a fire by night.
As an eagle stirs up her nest, flutters over her young, spreads abroad her wings, takes them, bears them on her wings. So Yahweh alone did lead them.
Just like a bird that flutters over her nest, Yahweh fluttered over us, cloud by day, fire by night. And guess what was with us? 12th verse.
So Yahweh did lead them. So Yahweh alone did lead him. And there was no strange Elohim with him.
There was no strange Elohim. There was no JC. There was no Islamic or Christian deity. There was no other deity, period. He did this alone. Continue reading.
He made him to ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of cows, and milk of sheep, with the fat of lambs, and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. And you did drink the pure blood of the grape. But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You have grown fat. You are waxing thick. You are covered with fatness. Then he forsook Elohim, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange Elohim. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not unto Elohim, to deities they knew, whom they knew not, to new deities that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not.
No, our fathers didn't even know these things, didn't fear these things. These some new nothings. These are nothing. And what do you think we are doing today? Provoking Yah to jealousy with something that don't exist. And where would you learn this thing, this story? In the wilderness. There's an old wise saying, he that don't know his history is destined to repeat it. And here it is, our people don't know the story of the wilderness, and guess what? We're repeating the very thing that we don't know. Because if you knew the story of the wilderness, would you complain as much? Would you tempt Yah 10 different times? Would you build a golden calf as our people have done today and put that golden calf around their neck, on their earlobes, on their heart, on their temples? Is that what you would do after you read the story in the wilderness? How our wicked people challenged their leaders whom Yahweh himself set up, as they doing today? No. If you knew the story of the wilderness, where Yahweh tested you, where Yahweh proved you, where Yahweh wanted to see what was in your heart and suffered you to hunger. And today, many of our people suffering, and they don't even know why. They don't even realize it's just a test. They don't even realize it's just to see what's in their heart. They don't even realize it's just to see if they will keep his commandments or no. In the wilderness. Watch what it says in the book of Exodus 16. The very first verse.
And they took their journey from Elim. And all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin.
The wilderness of Sin.
Which is between Elim and Sinai. And on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing of the land out of the land of Egypt.
Yeah, this is just 30 days. This is the second month after they departed out of Egypt. 30 days later, look what will happen.
And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness.
In the wilderness by Midbar. And look, they already complaining. 30 days in. We left the 15th, and it's just the 15th of the second month. 30 days later. And watch the third verse.
And the children of Israel said to them, "Would to Elohim that we had died by the hand of Yahweh in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger."
You brought us in this wilderness to kill us. What kind of fool would talk like that after seeing what Yahweh did to bring us out of Egypt, the children of Israel? That's the fool who would do and say such a thing. But little did they know, what was it all for? The fourth verse.
Then said Yahweh to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them.
That I might test them.
Whether they will walk in my law or not."
Whether they will walk in my law or not. That's what Yahweh wanted to do. That's what Yahweh did. Test the people. See what was in their heart. Whether they will keep his law or not. And that's what's going on today. You think you and your husband just having problems. You being tested. And you're failing. Thinking you be there, oh, he's not going to get over on me. Well, you done got over on yourself. Because you're being tested. And you don't even realize your heart is being discovered as we speak. You don't see that? You don't know that? No, you don't. And why don't you know it? Because you don't know the story of in the wilderness. You don't know that story. You don't know the story how many times our people complained, murmured, and did not realize the great blessings of Yahweh. Let us go to the book of Numbers now. And as I stated before, the second greatest story, because this is where Yahweh will test the people. This is where he will prove the people. This is where he will see what's in your heart and whether you will keep his commandments or not. We showed you what it means in the first chapter, the very first verse. And we see here, yes, they begin to number the children of Israel. And I don't want to skip this part. So we're going to go to Numbers, the third chapter, and watch what it says. Starting at the fourth verse.
Yahweh spake unto Moshe, saying, "Take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of their cattle, and the Levites shall be mine."
They're going to be mine.
I am Yahweh.
I am Yahweh. In other words, instead of you missing your firstborn ones, and they being taken away from you and set up for the priesthood, Yahweh said, "No, give me the Levites instead of all the firstborn of the cattle and all the firstborn of the children of Israel." And what are we to do with them, Yahweh, once we do that? Continue reading.
And for those that are to be redeemed, of the 213 of the firstborn of the children of Israel, which are more than the Levites.
It's more than the Levites. Go ahead.
You shall take 5 shekels apiece by the pole. After the shekel of the sanctuary, shall you take them. The shekel is 20 gerahs. And you shall give the money, which is the excess number of them, is to be redeemed to Aaron and to his sons.
Yeah, in other words, it says we don't need that many more, because it's more than the Levite. But yet they still the firstborn, so just give a ransom for their soul. 5 shekels apiece by their pole. After the shekel of the sanctuary. 49th verse.
And Moses took the redemption money of them that were over and above them that were redeemed by the Levites. The firstborn of the children of Israel took he the money. 1,303.5 shekels. After the shekel of the sanctuary. And Moses gave the money of them that were redeemed to Aaron and to his sons, according to the word of Yahweh, as Yahweh commanded Moses.
As Yahweh commanded Moses. Because we were commanded to give our firstborns. And this is the only way we did. The other way, we didn't give it. In the same third chapter, the 40th verse, read that.
And Yahweh said unto Moses, for all the firstborn of the males of the children of Israel, from a month old upward, and take the number of their names.
You notice it said from a month old and upward, not a moon old. What's a moon old? Nobody know what a moon old. This is not how our people spoke. I know y'all been in captivity a long time. Y'all think everything was a moon. That's how your enemies talk. That's not how Israel talk. Oh, man, this was a moon ago. Man, you learned that from your enemies and not from Yahweh. That's not how they talked in the scriptures. They took from a month old. Because in the scriptures, there is a month. And according to the scriptures, a month is always 30 days. Yahweh did not these unfamiliar numbers and balances where a month old can be 28 days and a month old can be 31 days, a month old can be 29 days, a month old can be 30. He didn't have this. This is total confusion. This is not the word of Yahweh. That's why the scripture says, seek ye out of the book of Yahweh and read. And you're only going to read one type of month in the scriptures. 30 days. And you number them from a month old. Continue reading.
And you shall take the Levites from me. I am Yahweh. Instead of all your firstborn among the children of Israel. In the cattle of the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the cattle of the children of Israel.
Yeah, that's what you take instead of the Levites. This is what we did. So it was essential that you knew what a month was. Since you took them from a month old. Because a month is a specific number. And it don't matter when you was born. You always can number a month. What is a month from the 15th? What is a month from the 17th? If you go to the book of Genesis, it'll tell you what a month was. From the 17th of the second month to the 17th of the seventh month. 150 days. 5 months, 30 days each month. And I don't care what day of the month it is. You can always know what a month is because there's somebody born every day. You can always number when a month old is. All you got to know is when they are born. And you'll know what a month old is. The book of Numbers. In the wilderness. Watch this. Numbers, the 9th chapter. Just show you a few things. This is what happened in the wilderness. You have to read this book. It's the second greatest story ever told when it comes to the children of Israel. The first is come out of Egypt and then the wilderness. How you going to know this story here in the book of Numbers, the 9th chapter, starting at the very first verse?
Yahweh spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they came out of the land of Egypt, saying, let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season. In the 14th day of this month at evening, you shall keep it in his appointed season, according to all the rites of it, and according to all the ceremonies thereof, shall ye keep it. And Moses spake to the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, at evening, in the wilderness of Sinai. According to all that Yahweh commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel.
This is what they did because this was the law. This was the statute. This is the ordinance of the Passover. And the ordinance is a statute. Continue reading.
And there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day. And those men said to him, we are defiled by the dead body of a man. Why are we kept back that we may not offer an offering of Yahweh in his appointed season among the children of Israel? And Moses said unto them, stand still, and I will hear what Yahweh will command concerning you. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if any man of you or your posterity shall be unclean by raising of a dead body, or is in a journey afar off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto Yahweh. The 14th day of the second month, at evening, they shall keep it, and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it until the morning, nor break any bone of it, according to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it.
They shall keep it. So, in the wilderness, this is where Yahweh would institute keeping the Passover twice a year. Once for everybody who was clean in the first month of the year, and the second month for all those who might have been unclean in the first month by reason of a dead body or if they were in a journey far off, and which means everybody kept the Passover. Everybody. Because there was two Passovers every year. And furthermore, in the wilderness, in the book of Numbers, the 12th chapter, let us turn there. The very first verse.
And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, has Yahweh indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not spoken also by us? And Yahweh heard it. Now man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And Yahweh spoke suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and to Miriam, come out ye three, to the tabernacle of the congregation, and they three came out. And Yahweh came down in the pillar of a cloud and stood at the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they came, both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, Yahweh, will make myself known to him in a vision, and I will speak to him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. In the lights of Yahweh shall he behold. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And the anger of Yahweh was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow.
She became leprous, white as snow.
And Aaron looked upon Miriam.
He looked upon Miriam.
And behold.
And behold.
She was leprous.
She was white.
And Aaron said unto Moses, "Alas, my master, I beseech thee, lay not this sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one of the dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he comes out of his mother's womb." And Moses cried unto Yahweh, saying, "Heal her now."
Heal her now, because the only one that can heal you is the same one that wounded you.
O Elohim, I beseech thee.
I beseech thee. Mm-hmm. Now, why is this so important? Go to the book of Deuteronomy so I can show you why. This is something you never, ever want to forget. This is something that Yahweh didn't want you to forget. In Deuteronomy 24:9, what do it say?
Remember what Yahweh did to, what Yahweh your Elohim did unto Miriam by the way.
By the way.
After that you were come forth out of Egypt.
And what did he do? She turned white. That's what he did. And start at the 8th verse. We started at the 9th verse. Start at the 8th verse.
Take heed in the plague of leprosy.
And what is that?
That you observe diligently and do according to all that the priests, the Levites, shall teach you. As I commanded them, so you shall observe to do. Remember what Yahweh your Elohim did unto Miriam by the way. After that, you were come forth out of Egypt.
Yeah, remember the thing. Remember this thing. But where did you learn this thing at? In the wilderness. By Midbar. That's where you learned it. That's where it was seen. That's where it was told. That's the story in which it came from. And last but not least, in the book of Numbers, the 13th chapter, just showing you how important this thing is. And we're going to go right to it in the 14th chapter. Numbers 14th chapter. And I want to start reading at the 11th verse.
And Yahweh said to Moses, "How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be before they believe me? For all the signs which I have shown among them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make you of you a greater nation and mightier than they.
In other words, Moses, I'm going about to disinherit them and kill them and make a nation out of you.
And Moses said unto Yahweh, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for you brought up this people in your might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. For they have heard that you, Yahweh, are among this people, that you, Yahweh, are seen face to face, and that your cloud stands over them, and that you go before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud and in a pillar of fire by night.
They hear all that, Yahweh. They hear all the things that you told us.
Now, if you shall kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of you will speak, saying, because Yahweh was not able to bring this people into the land which he swore to them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my master be great, according as you have spoken, saying, Yahweh is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And Yahweh said, I have pardoned according to thy word.
That's how great his mercies is.
But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of Yahweh, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these ten times, and have not listened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, he went in his siege as he has followed me fully.
He has followed me fully.
Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it.
And his seed shall possess it, because 10 times did our people tempt Yahweh. Where else are you going to learn this at? Where else is this talked about? Where else would you see where Yahweh was best to see where what was in your heart, whether you would keep his law or not, whether you would keep his commandments or not, and he will prove you and test you, even suffer you to hunger. All these stories that you have not raised, you are plagued this very day as a result of not reading this and understanding this. Because still to this day, you complain, even though you see the goodness of Yahweh every single day. And make no mistake about it, you're going in the wilderness again. No mistake about it, you're not coming out unless you humble yourself and see righteousness. There's nothing new under the sun. Understand and know the word of Yahweh by Midbar in the wilderness. Until tomorrow, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.
Yahweh, Elohim, please come in and help me.